You're listening to audio from Citizens Church, located in Plano, Texas. For more information about this ministry or to give to this ministry, please visit citizenschurch.com.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to Recovery here at Citizens Church. My name is Michael Snetzer. If you're joining us for the first time, we're just so thankful to have you here with us tonight. Hopefully, I'm not the first person to welcome you. We are an open-door ministry of Citizens Church, meaning that there's no need for registration. You are just welcome to come as you are. We are a ministry that wants to provide a safe place for men and women to pursue redemption in Christ from the otherwise enslaving interplay of sin and suffering. And so regardless of where you are, just on the spectrum of faith, whether you are a person who has not yet trusted in Christ, may still be skeptical to the claims of Christ, but you have honest questions about who he is and whether he's worthy of giving your life to, you're welcome here. On the other end of the spectrum, maybe you're someone who has been walking with the Lord for a long time, and you're just in a season of life where you need some additional encouragement and support. You're welcome here. The only requirement in walking through those doors is an admission that we are broken and a people that are in need. And so you are, if you find yourself in that place tonight, then you are in good company, because we, from the pastor who's responsible for this ministry to the person walking in this door, we are all a people who are in need of a Savior. So with that, we are this semester at the conclusion of the onboarding process for STEPS. So STEPS is our intensive discipleship program. We are a ministry of movement, meaning that our hope as we receive people in their brokenness is that they would begin to get traction in their relationship with God and begin to take steps of faith. And so STEPS is a program that helps people practice the basic principles of spiritual formation that help us get traction in our relationship with God, begin to deal with unresolved issues from our past, to begin to address unhealthy patterns of coping currently, and to get a vision of what it might look like to live a fruitful life for the kingdom of God. And so God redeems, he takes what is broken, he heals to make it useful for his kingdom purposes. And some of us are walking in here feeling useless, feeling hopeless, feeling like we're just immersed in darkness. Our lives are disordered. We feel empty inside. And what we're here to tell you is we have a God who brings light to the darkness, who brings order to our chaos, and fills us with life to what was formerly empty. And if you have yet to experience that, you're in a good space. You're in a good space to hear about that. And we are praying that the Lord would do immeasurably more than maybe what you even came in here for. We have approximately 21 men and women who have successfully navigated the STEPS onboarding process and completed the STEPS on-ramp, who are now going to be entering into this intensive discipleship program that begins this Saturday. And so my request from you is that you would pray for them. We just had a team of women who came back from Kenya, and God did extraordinary things. And as God went with them into those places, they got to know God in a way that they would not have known had they not gone. And so one of the things that was noteworthy about that trip is the prayer support that they were mindful enough to gather a group of people who would basically, if you think about the air war and the ground war in a battle, that the prayer ministry can be like that air war that goes and softens the ground as the infantry then begins to come in, because there is a real spiritual battle. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. And Jesus is bigger than the obstacles that stand in our way. And so the testimony of these women is that God went before them and laid and provided a way for them to be able to do ministry in a difficult space. And so in the same way that they had a whole group praying for them as they entered those spaces, we want to be prayerful for these 21 men and women who are entering this semester of this intensive discipleship process. This is week four following the Steps Interest Meeting. We asked people to come out of the Steps Interest Meeting and spend 4 weeks in recovery. The first week we had our celebration service. The second week we talked about the type of counsel that we want to offer you while you're here. Last week we talked about the type of community we want to offer you while you are here. And so tonight is the opportunity that our leaders have, who are going to be leading Steps in our small groups, to come and just share a little bit of their own story and how God used Steps in their own lives. We in no way want to give praise to a program. We want to give praise to the person and work of Christ, which is what makes us distinctly gospel-centered, that programs don't heal people, but Christ does. And so when he does, when he touches a life, that the most significant marker of that person's life becomes not just their past, but the fact that Jesus touched them in a miraculous way. And that is so revolutionary that then they spend the rest of their lives telling others about them. And that's the heart of our leaders, is they want other people to experience the same grace that they have experienced in Jesus Christ. And so we have been talking a little bit the last couple of weeks about the fact that we are a diverse people. We are a diverse people in terms of the types of struggles that we have and the degree of those struggles. And I can't think of a night other than celebration service and leader introductions where we get a picture of the different places that God rescues from, both in terms of types of sin and degree of sin. And here's one thing that I believe that many of us coming in believe, is that we are terminally unique. In other words, that there's no one else who can understand where we've been or what we've struggled with. And I'm here to tell you that there is no temptation that is not common to man. So the ways that you're tempted, and there is suffering that every person goes through. There may be a difference in degree, but I was thinking about this tonight, that every single person on the planet, whether you have felt it yet or not, will suffer to the degree of death. We'll all suffer to that degree. And so suffering is common to us all. Temptation is common to us all. And so to find a place, regardless of degree or type of struggle, that this is a safe place for you to feel welcomed as Jesus welcomes the weak, the wounded, the strayed, the lost, the addicted, the afflicted, the abused, and the confused. And he says, come and see. And there's something about him that wins our hearts. And so we get to introduce you to him. And he gets to do that, and we get to do that oftentimes through our testimony, that we will overcome the evil one by the blood of the Lamb, by what he's done on the cross, and the word of our testimony. And so what I want to do is I want to invite our leaders to come up. and to share a little bit. Most of them, I think, have probably prepared something. Those of you who are going to be leading steps, to come on up, and we'll just line up here like we normally do and have a chance to encourage through your testimony how God has worked in your life and how he's working among us. So looks like you're first, Jim. Yeah.
Well, I really thought I was going to do this with the group of guys that I'm going to be apprenticing in, so I'm not completely prepared for this. I came into Steps in the fall of 2021 after 10 lonely years in a church of feeling neglected and unnoticed. My wife kept telling me I needed to go through Steps. My wife kept telling me that the gospel changes everything. I've been a Christian since I was 21 at Texas A&M. I was saved on a public university campus. That's a whole long story. I won't even go into that now, but God is everywhere. So anyhow, it's been miraculous. I went through the semester. I entered, like I said, feeling lonely, not noticed. Then I had some personal challenges that brought me all the way to my knees. I'm kind of a fixer, control kind of guy, if anybody knows me. And there were some things I couldn't fix. And Richard said to me, "That's good. God has you right where he wants you." And I said, "Thanks, Richard." It's just... and God worked all those things out in a miraculous way, better than I ever could have fixed it on my own. So that was fantastic. I've been mentoring for a couple semesters now. It doesn't end just with Steps. It just keeps going and going. And you get more back than you give. It's hard to explain. I just want to read one thing that really stuck with me coming out of Steps. And I shared this with our group, so I have it in writing, so this is good. "So I started Steps wanting to know, as my wife said, the gospel changes everything. I wanted a silver bullet answer, immediate life change. A couple of weeks ago in the wisdom series, Jamin explained the 3 P's of wisdom, posture, pace, and personified. Number 2 is pace, which is slow. I am learning more that slow pace is how the gospel changes everything."
Hi, guys. My name is Richard, and I want to share something real quick. So I pull in the parking lot, and I looked to my left, and there was a guy in a truck. And, you know, God just kept having me stare at this guy in the truck, poor Ryan. And then we got out at the same time, introduced myself, and this is Ryan's first time. And so welcome, Ryan. And that's what Steps is, well, that's what, you know, recovery and Steps is all about, is people having the courage like Ryan to step out of his truck, not knowing anybody here, doesn't go to Citizens, find us on the internet. Is that right, Ryan? Okay. Your wife did. Okay, well, there we go. Jim, Ryan, welcome. Anyways. But really, though, that's what it's all about, and that's why I'm here. And I want to share one other thing before I get started. I have the privilege of going to Africa with Michael. And what I want to say is this, is that, you know, leadership in a corporation or a church or anything starts with the person at the top. And it's amazing, no matter how big the organization is or how small, the character of that person bleeds down into the organization. I've seen it in my experience in business from a positive point of view and a negative point of view. And we cannot be better at this church than Michael Snetzer. When I was in Africa, the thing that struck me the most about everything that I noticed was that for Michael, it was always about Jesus. Always about Jesus. And I really appreciate that. That touched my soul. When I think about my own journey of Steps, and what I hope will be your journey, the guys are in my Steps group, are 2 verses from the Sermon on the Mount. First, Jesus said this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You can replace the word poor with humble. So blessed are the humble in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To be humble or poor in spirit means that we realize our own sin, spiritual emptiness, and poverty. We see us as we really are, that we're really bankrupt, all of us. And this requires a humble and teachable spirit. Jesus followed it up by saying, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Another word for mourn is happy. So happy are those who mourn. That's kind of weird. We mourn or sorrow over our sins, which leads us to true repentance and the joy of Jesus' unconditional love. We are now motivated by the power of the Holy Spirit to change, to move from sin that grips us and controls us to his freedom, living in the kingdom. If you were to know me when I was a child and my adulthood, you would have thought that there goes a pretty good guy. I got married to a beautiful woman. I had three charming girls, owned my own business, was an elder at my church, had many friends, had a nice home, took nice vacations, and I had a daily quiet time. So I felt like, you know, I got life under control. Yeah, there's problems, but I can handle them. Then one day, things began to unravel. Seemingly overnight, my wife changed. Our relationship, which I thought was good, began to crumble. One comment she made still rings in my ears. She said, "I feel like I'm drowning." So over the next 3 years, I went about doing everything I could to fix my marriage. And you know, the harder I tried, the worse things got. I'll never forget on one cold, rainy morning, winter morning, I was served divorce papers. So that all my fixing skills and all my control mechanisms failed me. And be honest with you, for the first time, I was truly crushed. A friend of mine who had gone through the 12 steps and experienced life change recommended that I go to a thing called Celebrate Recovery at Watermark. I didn't know what recovery was, had no idea what it was, but I trusted my friend, so I showed up. And I was shocked by how honest people were. They were brutally honest. And they said things, and I'd look around going, did they really say that? And I got a taste for it. So with my friend's counsel, I decided to dig in and go through steps. And what he encouraged me was, he said, "Richard, don't focus on your wife and what she did. Focus on you and what you did and on your part in the divorce." And after much soul searching, led by the Holy Spirit, I identified that my biggest problem was a spirit of pride and self-righteousness. And this attitude made me unteachable. I also came to realize that I did not know truly how to love. Most of my love was conditional. So I went through the process of the steps, and through deep repentance and seeking forgiveness, and then releasing my life to God's care and control. But recovery, as Jim said, is a lifelong journey. In addition to pride and self-righteousness, I also came to realize that I struggle with anger. So these ugly things still pop up in my life, okay? But through steps, I have the tools, again, guided by the Holy Spirit, to address my sins through repentance, receiving the Lord's forgiveness, and forgiving and making amends to others. And my greatest joy of being a facilitator is that I get a front row seat to see guys' lives changed. Thanks for letting me share.
All righty, my name is Jenny. I told Peggy that I would tell you all that I was raised by wolves because she said she would laugh really hard. And she's laughing, so thank you, Peggy. anyways, okay. I never want to be a Jesus freak. Those words were the anthem of my adolescence and into young adulthood. I was raised in a legalistic denomination. Church and Sunday school were a box to check off. I hadn't learned what a relationship with Jesus looked like, and I certainly wasn't modeled one at home. I believed in God, but didn't want my life to change because of him. I wanted to play by my own rules and do what was best in my own eyes. I would curse God when things went wrong and praise myself when things went right. I sought after things of this world to fill a void. I sought anything that would fill the void of years of emotional instability left by my parents' bitter divorce and many shattered marriages thereafter. I sought anything that would fill the pain I felt for my dad only knowing nature and not nurture. I sought anything that would fill the hurt of being the emotional support to my family starting at too young an age. Anything that would fill my desire of being heard, understood, and comforted without condition. To attempt to fill these voids, my expectation and hope were to find it in others. I sought approval and validation from anyone willing to look my way. I was easily conformed and willing to be whatever someone else wanted out of fear of being rejected. I would make a complete fool of myself to get the attention of men. I honestly have too many stories to count or share with y'all. And yet this hole in my heart, desiring love and validation, only grew more prominent. I grew more exhausted, heartbroken, and lonely. All I knew was self-sufficiency, self-protection, and always looking for what could hurt me next, because I'm never safe. And as long as I know the worst possible scenario at all times, the pain won't hurt as bad because I was ready for it. But God, he took my brokenness and made me new. In the fall of 2017, I raised my hand in an altar call when I first moved to Dallas. I was done living my life my way. All it was doing was making my wounds worse. The Lord took me to the end of myself, and I finally surrendered my life to him. I rededicated my life through baptism on June 10th of 2018. Over the last 4 years, I have continued to see his hand in my life, even the years I had turned my back on him. I see the seeds he had planted in every chapter, at every age, that led me to finally surrender to him. He has carried me, taught me, redirected me, comforted me, and continues to pour grace upon grace on me. He continues to reveal old wounds that still reside deep in my heart, but he is gracious and slow in the way he does. He has been so kind to me, even though I'm immensely undeserving. I see now that nothing apart from Christ can fill my broken pieces. I still need his grace every day. Frequently is an understatement for how often I fail as a spouse, friend, employee, family member, and human being. Without intention, I still disappoint people and let them down. I am learning to be quick and frequent with apologies. I still have apologies to make and relationships to mend. I'm still learning to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I'm still learning to trust him in the midst of the unknown. I am still wrestling with the habit of self-sufficiency and continue to invite him into the smallest decisions of my day. There is still so much work for Jesus to do in my heart, but I know it's not by my own strength. As much as I resisted God, he never resisted me. When I ran from, he ran toward. He loved me, even as I countlessly said, I never want to be a Jesus freak. God is in the business of changing lives, and I thank him every day for radically changing mine.
So you can just second that, and then I don't have to do this, right? Yeah, okay. I started attending recovery during the summer of 2020 due to my interest in steps and found it was a great avenue to work through and better understand the anger and irritability issues I had been dealing with. As a seeker of understanding, I had a strong desire to comprehend what led me to that anger. It was easy to believe that I had learned from the example of my parents, but I knew there was more to it. As we hear Michael explain often, there was a root that led to that fruit. Blaming my parents did not explain why I could be so harsh, short, and cold with my ever-enduring, patient, and kind-hearted husband, or why people at work could evoke rage-like feelings with a single email. By spring of 2021, I was ready to gut out the bad and the ugly and started my journey through steps. What I learned throughout that semester was only the beginning. I discovered much more than I had come desiring to find out, which included that I was not magically fixed once completing the steps program. I learned that the roots of my anger came from a lack of trust in God and my own pride. They went hand in hand. If I couldn't trust God, I would be my own God. Now, if you had asked me if I trusted God, I would have told you that I did. I was not aware of the lie that I was living. These roots of sin produced 20 years of alcoholism, drug use, promiscuity, and anything that I could justify to take care of me, because who else would? As the roots grew down, the tree grew strong, and its branches were evidenced in my life as desperate struggles for control, anger when I didn't feel in control, and self-pity that was numbed by drinking and self-harm. I thought I had improved over the years at relinquishing control as I made my way back to the God who saved me as a young child. Perhaps to a degree I had, but I had not surrendered completely. I still doubted God's goodness to me. My pride led me to believe I was owed much, which meant I was constantly hurt and offended, and I believed I had to defend myself because I never knew that God was supposed to do that. While going through steps, God gave me Exodus 14:14. The ESV says, "The Lord will fight for you and you have only to be silent." The NIV says, "You need only to be still." These are both challenging for me. I've realized that being silent and still are signs of submission. God is a gentleman. He's not going to move me out of my own way. He's going to wait until I'm submitted to him to move my mountains. God sees the things that I think are unfair and he cares, yet he's asked me to be a servant, not angry and offended, because he fights my battles. He sees the things that worry me or don't make sense, and he asks me to trust him because he fights my battles. Referencing Jesus and all that he suffered on this earth and through the crucifixion, 1 Peter 2:23 says, "When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." Him who judges justly fights our battles. So instead of giving me a Tylenol, I was taken to surgery. I was armed with the knowledge of how to deal with my sin by surrendering to God and creating habits of confession, repentance, and thanksgiving. So I'm here to confess that I'm a sinner who gets angry when I feel used. I'm here to repent. Father, forgive me for being puffed up in pride. And fearing man's opinion more than your own. And I'm here grateful that he didn't leave me in my sin, but called me out of darkness and into the glorious light of his kingdom. I am not perfectly sanctified, and I will continue reading this when I can see it again. I still disappoint myself daily, but God, my Father, has much joy when I repent and is faithful to continue the work that he started. A part of that process is partnering with him in his work and serving in whatever way he lays before me. My continued presence in recovery steps and on mission in Paducah and Kenya are because I still need to learn humility, submission, and a right view of God. Most recently, he gave me 1 Samuel 14:6, where Jonathan is talking to his armor bearer about going up against the Philistines by themselves. He says, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few." As you go through the hard work of learning the spiritual disciplines laid before you, remember nothing can hinder the Lord. He uses the willing, not the educated, not the pristine, not even the mature. He uses those who are willing. Be willing for him to work in you, and then be willing to work with him to share this gospel blessing with others.
Hey, my name is Mason, and I did not come with a prepared statement like most everybody did. So my steps story or testimony is a pretty young one, I think, comparatively to the rest of the leaders. It only began late last year when I first started attending Citizens here. And at the time, God was just, by his grace, revealing to me that there were some things from my past that were impacting me in ways I wasn't fully aware of. And on top of that, I was getting increasingly convicted with some sins that I was really struggling with. And then they make this announcement about steps. And it was really brief, not super in-depth. Just, hey, there's a steps process as part of recovery. And they gave us a little details. And I just, boom, I'm going to do that. And so I did. I joined through the spring semester of steps. Pretty gung-ho about it. And then I think I was not fully aware of the level of effort and time necessary for the assessment aspect of it. And anyone who's gone through it knows that's some pretty deep and intense stuff, but it's awesome. It's a time that I found God really utilized through that, my own personal efforts and through what the mentor did and speaking to my life and hearing through that stuff to work on my heart, to reveal things to me, to help me work through those. And at the end of it, what I walked away with was being much more aware of myself, much more aware of the things that have impacted me, but also the responsibility I bear for what comes out of me. And then coupled with that also is the tools and to process that stuff, to take the time to analyze what's going on, to deal with it, and how to better communicate that in a way that's productive. And help me grow spiritually in that, both in my relationship with him, but with my brothers and sisters in Christ. So coming out of that, getting near the end of the steps, I was pretty gung-ho. It was tough, but I was gung-ho about it. There's also a bit of a call to serve, which is ultimately why I'm here today. I've got a long history of serving, doing youth ministry, adult ministry, college ministry stuff. And around, well, the pandemic came around, everybody got locked up at home, and that kind of fell aside. Then never got back into it. And I was starting to think about that, went through steps, thinking, okay, maybe this is an opportunity to serve. Didn't think about it much again, and then Eddie called me one day, or shot me a text, and said, hey man, you wanna do steps? And my first response was, I don't know if I'm ready for that, and then God, through the Holy Spirit, was like, no, you're gonna do this. So that's my testimony, is steps works, it's awesome, and just, so yeah, if you're doing it, put in the work, put in the time, and God will bless that. All right, thanks.
Hello, everyone. My name is Eddie. Not digging too much in my testimony today, but I've been attending the recovery ministry for about 9 years. Half of those have also been like as a mentor or a group leader. Testimony is I grew up just very briefly in a house full of alcohol, drug abuse, verbal abuse, all the abuses in the world, lots of chemical and drugs. And historically, I've struggled with chemical addiction pretty much my whole life. Still something that I've got to work through. Just a few notes about steps. I've been through it a couple of times. I've done it well and I've done it bad, meaning that I didn't complete it a few times. And I would just encourage you to take it seriously. A few personal takeaways, and all of these are, you know, Holy Spirit led. But steps helped me to just like learn how to process past and current circumstances and especially the people involved in those circumstances. But really, the biggest thing, and everyone kind of touched on this, was that like I am responsible for what comes out of me, even if I was the person that was wronged. And that's just, I mean, that's just hard to swallow, honestly. So take it seriously. A major part of the stress process is to not only grow in wisdom, and you've heard of people say this, but really the pouring out. It's not enough that we are fed, but we must feed others. In doing so, we join Jesus in biblical peacemaking. And so this is why I'm here today. And my hope is that half of you would come back and serve. You know, Michael mentioned to us earlier, he's expecting a big spring. So my hope is that half of you would come back and serve either as a mentor or apprentice leader. That's all I got.
So those of you who are going through steps know from having listened to the interest meeting that at the conclusion of steps, we do go serve events. And we have some local events that we do, but we also all get behind as a class a mission so we do international missions, we do some local stuff. What we realized that there was a bit of a gap between going to the nations and just being involved here in our city. In Acts 1:8, it says that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's kind of where they were at. And Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so we didn't really have a Judea and Samaria, like the neighboring Texas cities and towns. And so for the last several years, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, we've been going to neighboring Texas cities and towns. It's one thing to serve here locally. It's another thing to take 10 days and go and raise $3,000 to go halfway across the world, which is a big step for most of us. But what about an intermediate step where we can step out and take a weekend and go serve a community and to love people well. And so at the end of Steps, we have two things. We have a celebration service, which gives people the opportunity to make much of his name. And there is an opportunity to go and make disciples and to bear witness to his goodness. And so we're trying to introduce that earlier in the process. We talk about it in the interest meeting. And so we will be going right before Christmas again to Paducah, Texas. And you might be saying, where the heck's Paducah? And that's the point. That's the point. And so I have asked a family here from our church who I believe has been called by God to be more invested in that city, even than what that 2 or 3 times a year mission trip. And so that family is the Praise. And so I've asked them, as those who will help organize and lead that trip in December, to come and just share in a similar way as leaders, just kind of their heart for that city and what they see there. So yeah, they also led us in worship tonight. So there's that.
All right, this ain't going to be 2 minutes, so. All right, so in order to appreciate where God has placed us and just our heart for the town of Paducah, I just want to share kind of where I was. And I cry a lot. man, this is really surreal. Like, I remember being in those seats, anticipating what God was going to do. He is so all right, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of work, so that no man may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So workmanship is defined as the art or skill displayed in a finished product, the product executed by a skilled workman. So us being the workmanship, God being the workman. I went through Steps in January of 2016. I came in with a lifetime of legalism, hiding from God, withdrawing from others, and working tirelessly to just be enough. I came in filled with so much shame and just longing for my relationship with the Lord to be transformed. I wanted to not only know God's character, but to be able to trust it. Technology. I wanted to be able to trust it, not just know his character, especially since most of my experiences in life had showed me otherwise. I wanted to know and trust that God was a good, kind, present father that comes close to comfort his children, but much of my experience was filled with critical eyes and ears coming close to condemn. I wanted to know and trust that God was attentive, that he inclines his ear to his children and is eager to hear and respond to their cries, but much of my experience was filled with learning how to incline my ear to manage others' concerns and minimize my own. As I stepped out in courage, filled with both fear of the unknown, just like you guys are doing right now, and longing for freedom, for something to change, God came close and began his patient work in me, his workmanship. Steps gave me the framework to understand my story and how it has impacted the way that I relate to God and others. And in that season, he was so faithful to not only help me know and see him rightly, but to be with me. He came close and has never left. He sat with me in the darkest days. He inclined his ears to my cries, and he knew how to comfort me when I had no words. He allowed me to experience his gospel comforts in such a way that my only response would be to eagerly walk in the good works that he has already prepared for me. All he asks is that I walk in them. Over the last several years, God has continued to prepare and grow me for where he places me each day, and all he asks is that I walk where he is leading. I have been honored to have the last several years filled so generously with opportunities to compassionately care for hurting people, mentor women through steps, and attend Go Serve mission trips, just to name a few. And most recently and specifically has been being present with the people and in the place of Paducah, Texas. This spring, we had an opportunity to go to Paducah for the Go Serve mission trip, and our plan was to help where there was a need, whether that be helping mentor or help with the teaching or help lead worship for the weekend. Wherever there was a need, we would be there to help. But God had been preparing something different. As we were present that weekend with the people he had placed with us, God began to reveal that he had different plans. That weekend would not be the end of our time with that place and with those people. God would continue to show us needs and grow our hearts to walk in faith in the good works that he, again, had already prepared. He has given us a desire to be present, and that meant getting a tangible place to be present. So we purchased a house as a reminder that God redeems. He comes close and he stays. We spent this summer leading a small group of people through steps, and we're enjoying new friendships with our brothers and sisters in Paducah. We are ministering to people who are broken, who have stories of suffering, and we get to come close. I have been able to sit with them because of my own story and just weep with them, help them name their suffering, and remind them of a good father who comes close, a God who is attentive and responds to the cries of his children. God is present, and he is preparing his children to be people of presence and a willingness to be led by him. It truly is a blessing of being a part of what God is doing. God comes close, he stays, he heals, he transforms, he leads, and he continues to give his children the beautiful invitation to display his goodness and faithfulness. All he asks is that we walk in them.
I'm Chris Prey, and I'm Holly's husband. Just to share my kind of side of my story with what Allie just shared for our family. I went through steps in spring of 2016. Eddie was one of my group leaders 7 years ago. And this place and this ministry has just been a place of belonging for us, a place of change for our hearts. And just had a huge impact on our marriage and our children and the trajectory of our life. After going through steps and seeing what a healthy gospel rhythm looks like of rooting myself in the gospel and fearlessly looking into my heart and laying it before the Lord, and then seeking to choose his kingdom over my own and turning my eyes then off of myself and outward. That's what steps taught me. And then as I have gone out and tried to live that, it's still hard, right? I've since steps 7 years ago, I've gone through seasons where I just haven't felt the presence of Jesus in my life. Like, I still believe the book and I want to be a part of the people, but I've gone through long periods where I just didn't feel God leading my life. But through that time, continually being willing to show up and be present and wait patiently. And so as part of that, I had been attending the Go Serve events. We went to Aransas Pass, and then I think I'd been to Paducah 4 or 5 times. And every time there was just this little tug for this strange, sleepy little town. And then when we were there last time, the tug became a full-on grab and pull. And I woke up one of the mornings that we were there and went down to the hotel lobby, and I just started writing the needs I saw in Paducah and the ways I thought God could use us to meet those needs. And it had been a long time since I had felt God saying, here is a place that I need you to go. And so we bought a house there. And but what one thing I want to say about that is these short-term mission trips, some of them I had been on, there are always these little glimmers of light and help to someone or a conversation with someone who needed it. But honestly, a lot of times it felt like there wasn't much traction happening in this place. But from this last time, God has used those previous moments of this group being present in that place to chip away and chip away and break down walls and earn trust. And so that now we see openings starting to crack to where people who were kind of resistant, just really a lot of people stuck in their ways, coming to this steps intensive, hungry for change in their life, and a group of these Paducans going through the entire steps process with the help of mentors from here in Plano. And now they are going to replicate that again. So this snowball that just started like a pebble rolling down the hill, it just feel it picking up speed. And so I just want to invite everyone here as we look to that. It's the weekend of December 16th, 17th, and 18th. Even if there's a question mark of whether you want to go, block your calendar. We'll have an interest meeting later in the semester, and I can talk about Paducah and the needs there. One of the things Michael said struck me, and then I'll wrap up. There's a serving in our city, and then there's serving overseas. And Paducah is kind of like this middle place. But Paducah is a city that is incredibly geographically isolated. So it's not on any major highways. They have virtually no access to the kind of resources that we have here. And so it is like going to an overseas mission. It's just a completely different place. And it's only 3 hours away. And so I would just invite you, what I can guarantee you is that I don't know what it will look like, but by being present, you will bless the people that are there and you will be blessed yourself because of it. So.
Thanks, guys. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask Cole to come up and give our announcements, because we want to be a people of prayer. And then we'll dismiss to groups. Those of you who are in steps, if you will stay here, we will have each leader come up and read off the names of those in their group, and then they will take you to your steps room. So let me pray, and then Cole can come up and give us some announcements. Father, I do thank you so much for these testimonies. It always feels like fertilizer that stimulates growth within the body. And so I thank you that you are cultivating fruitfulness in the hearts and lives of your people, and we want to live fruitful lives, Lord. I pray your blessing over this steps group, leaders and participants, Lord. I pray that you would help them to keep first things first, that the time that they are taking away from other things in order to invest in their relationship with you is worthwhile, because you are the source of all good things. And it's in you that our lives are preserved, that our lives flourish. And so we just lay this semester before you and ask that you would bring glory to your name, and that you would display your goodness, that you would show mercy to those you show mercy on, and that we would see through the testimonies of those who have been in this semester evidence of your presence. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.